Thanks for checking out sermons from Pleasant Valley Community Church. We hope these messages encourage, convict, and inspire you to love and follow Jesus more faithfully as we seek to saturate our city with the hope of the gospel. Our online resources are meant to serve you, but they aren't a replacement for the face-to-face relationships that we were built for. So we really hope that if you're in Owensboro, you'll join us in person on a Sunday morning. And if you live elsewhere, you'll find a local church in your community where you can put down roots and find family. For more resources and to give financially to support the missions and ministries of Pleasant Valley, find us on social media or visit our website at www.pleasantvalley.cc.
Good morning. The Caleb's right. It's marriage investment. It's not optional. It's essential. And we've gotten into a culture where when do we invest in marriage? It's like, man, when we're fighting, when we're toxic, when we're this. And kind of our model at Pleasant Valley is that, hey, let's just make marriage great. And let's never get to that point where we're investing out of a response to just really, really struggling. So thank you for sharing, Caleb. Caleb's a great pastor and even better friends. So thank you guys this morning. I am the pastor of marriage here at Pleasant Valley and privileged to do that. We have a great marriage ministry here. We have an amazing premarital process. We have about 100 couples that are in our Pleasant Valley Marriage Enrichment Platform. If you're not in it, you need to be in it. James is in it. Caleb's in it. I'm in it. Our staff's in it. It is. Our model here is let's grow marriage. Let's just not drift into crisis. So today's sermon, it's going to be on Romans 12, 1 and 2. By God's sovereignty, it's really a piggyback on James's sermon last week. If you could stand in honor of the reading of God's word, please, that would be great. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Thank you. You may be seated. So the tendency of people across this world is to just conform. If you're looking at me and wondering, why is he wearing that shirt? Which obviously are. Actually, I got one compliment on this shirt, real compliment. That said, I really like that shirt. It was James. I mean, I've gotten Ronald McDonald. I've gotten Where's Waldo. I've gotten James. Like, dude, I like that. But when I was growing up, this shirt was the craze. I mean, all my friends wore it. They bought it. I mean, this was the thing. And now it's not the thing. And it's a little warm for today. But in the publication, Nature of Human Behavior, it states, it's well known that individuals tend to copy behaviors that are common among other people. I mean, interesting examples like the purchase of toys. When a lot of people start buying something, it just kind of goes viral and it's kind of weird. We got into the craze of Little's Pet Shop. Do y'all remember these? I mean, I remember it's just nutty to think about, but I would go online looking everywhere to buy a $30 one-inch giraffe. And then get it, and it's like, can't wait, I got it, you know? And it's like, and then, you know, it's then they're all at the Goodwill 2 years later, and it's on to something else. I mean, how do you remember Cabbage Patch Kids? What about the Furby? What about, I know this one's more recent, I don't even know how to pronounce it, but Lububu, whatever it is, Webkinz, Beanie Babies, Tickle Me Elmo. I mean, it's crazy, you look at those things, people would almost fight to get them. Tickle Me Elmo and Cabbage Patch would sell out instantly. There were near riots in stores. That goofy-looking Furby sold 40 million by the year 2000. But it's a bizarre phenomena. When people start doing something and people start getting into something, it's like the masses just follow and go crazy over it. Kids actually started eating Tide Pods. Remember sagging jeans, mullets, stirrup pants, slap bracelets, leg warmers, jelly shoes. And this isn't a new phenomenon. In the 1800s, pale skin was very fashionable. People would actually ingest small amounts of arsenic to try to lighten their skin to look more beautiful. In Queen Elizabeth I's reign, black teeth was a sign of wealth. So people wanted black teeth. And I researched why, and it's because they could afford sugar and they didn't have Crest. But now none of these above the toys and the trends, you know, they're not harmful in themselves except arsenic and Tide Pods. But the tendency we can, it's believers, when a particular belief set, when a particular action becomes normative, believers tend to compromise the Word of God, take the Word of God out of the driver's seat, and fall into conformity with deception. But we're not called to be conformed to the patterns of the world. Conform comes from the Greek word schismatizo, which means to be molded according to a pattern. Well, think of marriage. In 2008, California, the most liberal state in the country, well, maybe one and two with New York, the population voted down gay marriage. Fast forward 15 years, 69% of Americans support same-sex marriage. People tend to follow trends. But as believers, we're to be anchored on the Word of God and unmovable and unshakable by emotion and trends, but on the rock of Christ and His Word. Jesus spoke clearly to this issue in Matthew 19. Jesus said, "Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female, and said, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." So we're not to be conformed to the patterns of the world. So we tend to have two ditches. You know, one, we drift from the truth of God, or two, we hold to the truth of God and we're hateful, rude, and we run the lost off because we don't love them, we judge them. We're not gonna win the world one harsh judgment at a time. We hold on to truth, but remember the greatest of these is love. And that's why it says we're not to be conformed, but transformed. And as James said last week, transforms means a metamorphosis. You are literally changed from one state to another, from dead to life, dominated by love, living lives and having convictions according to God's word. So be really careful about all the stuff that goes on in the world. I love what Henry Nouwen says. He says, "Treat the world like a sinking ship and swim as hard as you can away from its patterns and behaviors." So today, here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna take Romans 12, 1 and 2, and we're gonna apply this to romantic relationships and as to marriage. So if you're single in here and you're thinking, "Oh crud, it's marriage Sunday, it's Brad." You know, I know some of you singles, as soon as I walk up, What scripture says is let marriage be held in honor among all. And your hope is marriage, the wedding supper of the Lamb, the bridegroom. Marriage is, like Ted Cunningham says, marriage is not for all, but all are to be for marriage. So we'll start with the patterns. The first pattern I'm gonna address is premarital sex and pornography. The conformed life, the pattern of the world, living together is normal. Porn is normal. It's not that big a deal. Everybody's having sex before marriage. Don't be so traditional. Transform. Abstain from sex before marriage, completely avoid all porn, and let marriage be held in honor among all. I'm just gonna let the scripture speak to this issue. 1 Corinthians, flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. 2, now the works of the flesh are evident, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality. Those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Thessalonians, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor. There was a time that it was not socially acceptable to live together, have sex before marriage. Now there's been a 900% increase in cohabitation. Now, Marilyn said she had an advantage when she dated me. She said, you were so gross and your house was so nasty. Even if I wanted to stay there, I would not have. So this was one strategy. But what we need to do, and not just say, if you're in this room and you are having sex outside of marriage, you know, it's not over. You're not tainted. You're not impure. You're just called to repentance and complete restoration and beauty. So the call is to turn from it. And God's word is not to deprive us. I mean, science proves God's word. There's studies that show cohabitors had a 50 to 85% higher risk of divorce than those who didn't live together before marriage. You know, I've heard people tell me, well, you don't buy a car unless you test drive it first. Well, first, people aren't cars to be used. Second, you don't go down to Don Moore and say, hey, I'm thinking about buying a Tundra. Here, take it for a year, drive it, use it however you want. And then if you don't like it, just get rid of it and bring it back after a year. It's not the way it works. Dating, courtship, honoring one another, that's the test drive you get. It could be an entire sermon, but I want to spend a minute on porn. Over the past 20 years or so, there's been conformity to making porn normative. Porn is about one of the most destructive things to human beings and to marriage, and it's tragic. There's a 400% increase in use since 2000. Cell phone, like James talked about last week, is a big reason. I remember when I was in high school and, you know, we weren't pursuing the Lord real hard, and I remember one of my friends wanted to try to look at porn, so he like tried to run across the street and buy a magazine at a convenience store. They wouldn't like hardly sell it to him. It was hard to access. Now it's just it's a click away. Now men aged 18 to 29, 70 to 80% view porn on a consistent basis. It's not just a man problem either. 80% of women aged 30 and below have viewed it. It's bad for individuals. It's bad for marriage. I mean, if you want lower marital satisfaction, a worse sex life, a greater likelihood of divorce, watch porn. But you got a God that loves you. You got a God that delights in you. You got a God that wants to thrive you. You've got a God that says, flee from this. So for those that are, there's no condemnation in Christ, and sin really thrives in the darkness. And you come forward and you tell our leaders here, there's gonna be no shame. There's gonna be no condemnation. There's gonna be all love, all help. Because it's one thing that a lot of people are destroying themselves in private. So the first point, fix your mind on Jesus Christ, not on sex, not on porn. So the second pattern, I've seen this in the marriage space huge. Busyness, distraction, and the pursuit of wealth compromise marriage. People worry a lot more about 529 accounts and 401ks and jobs and promotions than they do their primary relationships. Then the marriage drifts, like Caleb says, and you have two busy, cell phone distracted people working hard to get ahead, slowly drifting toward crisis. And again, piggybacking what James said last week, the cell phone is really rough on a marriage. How many of y'all have ever been annoyed at your spouse because of a cell phone? Yes. If every single marriage, and there's always one primary offender. In my marriage, it's me. Like whoever's mind races the most, you know, Marilyn and I'm just talking and all of a sudden, you know, I'm checking the Broncos Charger score. She goes, what are you doing? Checking the Broncos Charger score. But when you're with each other, just be with each other. The other day, we had an hour drive, Marilyn and I reflected. I talked to 8 different people on a 1-hour drive. Texting, taking a quick call, getting a notification. And I thought, I just wasted a full hour that I could have just been connecting with my very best friend in the world because of this stupid cell phone. We have to be much more radical in fighting it. First John 2, it kind of addresses this, because the tendency is it could be sports, it could be all kinds of different things, but we focus more on the world than Christ. But 1 John says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but it's from the world. And the world is passing away with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. Matthew 13, 22. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and it proves unfruitful. We get so dominated and so anxious over the worries of the world. How am I going to pay for this? How am I going to save this? How am I going to do this? What if my health happens here? What if this happens here? And you know, where does peace come from? The Prince of Peace. Every time I take my eyes off him and try to get my world in order, I become an irritated, distracted mess. Every time I put my eyes on the source of all order, the Lord Jesus Christ, it calms me. So I remember back when I was in the law practice, I was stressed as a lawyer. I was worried about 529 accounts. I was worried about our finances. Has all kinds of things. And then at midnight, my daughter comes to bed with us, and about 30 minutes later, she quits breathing completely. We're freaking out. We're going crazy. You know, I've learned my future's not in emergency medicine because I broke my toe but never found the rescue inhaler. And then she had a prolonged grandma seizure. She turned out to be okay. And by God's kindness, she's okay today. But it was really interesting because in a moment, all this stuff that was driving me crazy didn't matter at all. Zero. I was just thankful to look at Madeline. I was just thankful for my family, just thankful for the Lord. But then slowly, the worries of the world took me over again. I remember when we came home that morning after being in the hospital and everything else, my daughter goes, Dad, could I have some Fruit Loops? I'm like, yeah, I'll buy stock in Fruit Loops. You can have 10 bowls of Fruit Loops, you know, because I'm so thankful you're here. But I so see so many families, two people working full time, going this way, that way, running to kids' sports, which is a point I'm going to make in a minute. And they're not enjoying each other in marriage. They're not enjoying Christ. They're stressed. They're rushed. And it's just dangerous. I had a friend of mine tell me, he was really busy in his work and he's really high functioning. And he said, Brad, I just have to do this for a couple years. And then we'll be in a good spot. And then we can settle in. Well, we were both right. 2 years later, he was in a good spot. And 2 years later, he was divorced. If Tim Keller said, if anything comes ahead of your marriage other than Jesus, your marriage will slowly die. So my encouragement is focus more on relationship and less about worldly advancement. Now, I get it for some of you, both of you may have to work. But for some of you, you could live more modest lifestyles and have more time for one another. And this sermon, it's not on gender roles. It's on capacity. It's on time. Marilyn got her master's in social work. I was a lawyer. She's working full-time as a counselor. I'm working full-time as a lawyer. It was more on us emotionally than we could handle. And we struggled to have a good relationship. I think the call is just to remember Mary and Martha. Remember what Jesus told Mary? Martha, Martha, you worry about many things. You worry about the 401k. You worry about the house. You worry about the order. You worry about this. But Mary, you're focused on one thing and the only thing that matters, the Lord Jesus Christ. So fix your mind not on success, not on wealth, not on advancement. Fix it on the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, now pattern three. It's a big one. It's the pattern of the world is marriage should fulfill you. Marriage should make you feel happy. Marriage should make you your life better. And if it doesn't, you should get out. Now, this has really become a problem. In Europe, there's this thing called starter marriage, and now it's coming here, like this term, it's called starter marriage, where people actually get married. You know, this isn't my forever home. You know, maybe it'll work out, maybe it won't, but it's called a starter marriage. But a transformed life is vow keeper in sickness and in health, in riches and in poverty, in good times and bad times. Bad times hit, and they hit hard. I'm 57 now. I had no idea how rough this thing is. We've been through years of crisis, and we don't handle it very well. I mean, we the heart casts and shingles, and you know, we just handle it great. But the thing is, we stay together. And the reason so many marriages struggle is you ask for what it cannot give that only God can bring. It's funny, it's like spouses expect their husband or wife to be everything. You're supposed to be fun, but you're supposed to be responsible. You're supposed to be generous, but you're supposed to be frugal. You're supposed, and then whatever they're not, they come into my office or James' office or Kevin's office and say, man, he is not romantic at all. Well, we're all not something. I'm not consistent. I'm not balanced. I get grouchy. I get irritable. Marilyn focuses on the good of me and we have a great marriage. I don't wish I were those things and I'm hopefully less than I used to be, but our hope is Christ. It's not one another. And the key to marriage is not being reliant on your marriage. The turning point of our marriage, Marilyn, and I've shared with this with some of you, but Marilyn came to me early in our marriage. We'd had a real rough first year. And she looked me in the eye and said, Brad, I don't need you. And I thought, oh my goodness, I didn't know it was that bad. And then she goes, I don't want to ask for your forgiveness. She goes, I've been asking from you what only the Lord Jesus Christ can give me. My beauty, my security, my happiness, my joy is all in him and it's none in you. And she says, this point on, I'll be your wife, but I'm off your roller coaster. We're not called to hitch our joy to the consistency of our spouse. So the role of marriage is to put the Jesus Christ on display. You want to see love, you want to see beauty, you want to see sacrifice, you want to see grace. Watch me love my bride. And if you're having troubles in your marriage, you're normal. 1 Corinthians says, those who marry will have worldly troubles. I have people come in, they say, these are my problems. I said, well, I'm thinking you have a biblical marriage. They're like, what? I said, yeah, you just shared a bunch of worldly troubles and you're married, so it seems to be biblical. And they look at me like, it's normal to have problems. You grew up different. You have different personalities. Then you try to merge them and make the two one. That is messy. Now, I'm not talking about situations of abuse or infidelity. In those cases, prioritize protection, seek help. But don't be conformed to marriage where you're just perpetually discontent, frustrated at your spouse and what you wish they were. Live a transformed marriage where you're laying your life down for another to point people to your Lord Jesus Christ. The fourth thing, and this is huge. How many in here married and have kids? Wow. How many of you find parenting easy? Marriage is a lot easier than parenting. That's a whole nother sermon. But a conformed life is to make the children the center of the home. And this has happened over like the last 20 or 30 years. A transformed life is where the marriage takes priority. The children are well loved and they're served, but the marriage come ahead of the kids. Those that are not in our marriage ministry at Pleasant Valley, the primary reason is we don't have time. We're too busy. We can't date because of our kids' sports. We can't get involved because our weekends are taken up. Well, you can't separate parenting and marriage. A friend of mine has a church and they have what they call marenting seminars. Because he said you can't separate parenting and marriage because what's about the number one thing you can do for your kids? Model a godly, beautiful marriage where the atmosphere of the home is full of love and laughter and sacrifice and they get to live in that greenhouse. It's not running them everywhere at your own expense. I love what Ted Cunningham says. He said, tell your children, you are a welcome addition to our family, but you are not and never will be the center of our family. One pastor in Atlanta told me, if our marriages don't work, nothing we do as a church works. He said, if our marriages break down, our finances break down, our kids break down, our youth break down, the best thing you can do for your kids' future, one of them, is love your spouse well and set them the example. Have the marriage. Ask yourself, do we have the marriage that I want my kids to have someday? And if they don't, step forward and have it. And now I'm going to address the elephant in the room, youth sports. Oh, my goodness. We've gone absolutely crazy. It's a $30 to $40 billion industry now. When I was young, if you were in the top 1% of your sport, you would travel because you had to go find people good enough to really develop your skill. Now, to get into travel sports, you just have to have a pulse. I remember we were in Lexington watching my daughter play a tournament in soccer, and I'm thinking, there are 500 people in Owensboro better than us. Why are we here? We've bought into it, and we spend money and time on youth sports at the expense of our marriage. Marilyn was out, and she saw some friends at a youth sports trip. And she said, you really ought to get involved in our marriage. And I said, we would, but man, we just can't afford it. Well, they were spending four times the cost of a year of marriage investment that one weekend at a relatively meaningless baseball tournament. I love what a friend of mine said. He said, they pulled their kid from soccer. And I said, Keith, why'd you pull your kid from soccer? He said, well, Dana and I decided we're not going to sacrifice our entire life and hope that our daughter will start on a high school soccer team someday. And now, the good news is there's a marriage renaissance going on. People are flocking to marriage more. Marriage rates are starting to go up. The bad news is for those 50 and above and 65 and above, the divorce rate's doubled and tripled. And I believe why is that? I believe we're starting to see the fruit of child-centric homes and its damage on marriage. Our pastor Jameis and Annie, they have three kids, busy life. I don't know many people have more demands on them than Jameis. Jameis has been coming to our marriage ministry every quarter for the last 12 years. So couples I talk to in crisis, it's sad because I'll say, just spend a lot of time together, invest in it. Brad, we'd love to, we don't have time. But then I add it up and they're spending 10 to 15 hours a week on a child activity. We've just been conformed. We haven't done anything malicious. It's just what everybody's doing. And I get it. It's hard not to do just what everybody's doing. But when you do it, your life is much better. So don't fix your mind on your kids. Fix your eyes on Christ. The next point, number five, is the pattern of the world is a performance-based marriage, not a grace-based marriage. Now, this could be a whole sermon, and it just wouldn't be my sermon if I didn't have the word grace in it. So, sorry. But given your love as an act of grace, that's basically saying, hey, spouse, I'm going to give you my kindness, my affection, generosity, service, everything, a free gift to you as a gift of grace. Why? Because while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. Through no good of my own, Jesus looked down and saw an enemy of Christ, dead in his trespass, and said, you know, I love you. I'm going to die for you. I'm going to help you thrive. Because nothing you did, just because who you are. And then how does scripture tell us to love one another? As you have been loved by the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're having trouble loving your spouse because you have an annoying spouse, while you are an enemy of God, he sacrificed his son for you. It said, go love each other like that. I mean, grace to a marriage is like oil to an engine. It won't run without it because we're just too all jacked up and inconsistent. And if we don't give grace, sin will have dominion over us. Recently, I went and got an oil change in my car. This is the actual ticket. So I get an oil change in my car. Marilyn drives the next day. She calls, says, Dad, Brad, all the lights are on the dash, the oil light, the engine light. I said, don't start it. Check the oil. Well, they did a perfect job at the oil change place. They just forgot one thing, oil. Read this. Guest had oil changed. Oil was not put in car. Like, just a minor mistake. But what happens when you don't put oil in a car? If Marilyn had driven that thing 4 more miles, we would have no car. If you try to drive your marriage without the grace of Jesus Christ, you will have no marriage. Because sin will have dominion over the marriage and it'll ultimately blow up the marriage. So ask yourself, do I offer love as a free gift of grace to my spouse? Or do I give and take it away based on how I perceive I'm being treated in the moment? Pattern 6, and the last one we're going to address, is complacent and stagnant marriages. This is exactly what Caleb was talking about. Do y'all want to get involved in marriage? No, we're good. We're okay. We're fine. We're getting along all right. Okay, just if you ever hate each other cheating on one another, please join our marriage ministry. No. Complacency and stagnancy in marriage with two people living together more as roommates than a gospel attractional state has become the norm. At Pleasant Valley, we want people to walk in and we want them to see affection and laughter and love and beauty. Why? People are drawn to beauty. And what's the ultimate source of beauty? Jesus Christ. And we want you to love each other so much that draws them to their true husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. Just going along side by side doing fine is not neutral, it's harmful. Husband, wife, Christ, the church. Marriage is the most important horizontal relationship, and we're called to live it out in such a way that people think, wow, that's really cool. There's a guy in Owensboro, and he does this well. He has 6 kids. He's busy. They date every week. They have a great marriage. You can tell, man, they just vibe. And I went up to him, and I said, and I've heard a lot about that couple. So I went to him, and I said, you know, I want to thank you for your marriage, but I wish you didn't stand out so much. Why is a great marriage such an anomaly? Well, isn't that cute? Man, that couple's, they got their arm around each other. Isn't that neat? That's really cool. No, that should be really normal. So we want you to get involved. It's good for you. It brings glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And marriage is a ton of fun when done right. People tell me, oh, marriage is hard work. You know, marriage is hard work. Well, if you work on it a lot, it's not really that hard of work. I tell people, if coming together with Marilyn, going on dates with Marilyn, talking with Marilyn, hanging out with Marilyn, if that's work, give me another shift. I'll do overtime on that one. But when you just live together at roommates and you don't get along that well, then you try to invest, it is work at first. Recently, we were at this hotel that thankfully somebody else paid for, but this picture right here, these were the flowers. And Marilyn was like, dang, take a picture of that. But I thought, why are those flowers so beautiful? They really take care of them. They don't just plant them and just leave. But a lot of times we spend $36,000 a year on average on weddings nationally, believe it or not. $36,000 on a wedding is the average now. I know a lot of you a lot less. And then we get married and do nothing and wonder why it doesn't work. I tell people you can invest in your marriage for 180 years for the cost of one wedding. So consider putting your marriage in your budget. Consider budget time for your marriage. Like this next slide, time is a container a marriage grows in. The bigger the pot of time, the bigger the marriage. Studies show, scripture, reaping and sowing. So spend time on your marriage. Simply stated, schedule your life around your marriage, not your marriage around your life. At Pleasant Valley, what we're trying to do is completely change the way people have done marriage. Why has marriage declined over the last 40 or 50 years? What's been the model? You get married, and then if you are in a really bad spot, you go get help. The average couple's unhappy in their marriage 6 years before their first contact with a pastor or counselor. We're changing that paradigm at Pleasant Valley. The paradigm at Pleasant Valley, if you're married, you invest in marriage. Why? Because you love the Lord Jesus Christ and you love your spouse. And you want marriage to be held in honor among all. And you want God to get glory through your relationship. So our call is to really invest. It's easy to have a declining marriage. All you have to do is nothing. I remember our first year of marriage, Marilyn just spontaneously cry like two or three times a week. And I remember saying, why do you just keep crying? I said, I didn't do anything. And then God later showed me, Brad, that's the point. You didn't do anything. She wanted to be loved. She wanted to be prioritized. She wanted to feel special. She didn't just want to get married and go side by side in some lifeless relationship, even if you're okay with it. Praise God, she wasn't okay with it. So whatever your norm is, don't settle on some norm you can tolerate. Say that every year we're married, we're going to enjoy each other more, we're going to grow closer, and our last year will be our best year. Transformed marriages bring Christ honor. Song of Solomon, marriage is an oasis in the desert. It's rough out there. But sitting, hanging out with Marilyn, enjoying marriage, it's like an oasis in the desert for me. So many miss it. And it grieves me. I didn't even know it existed, what I could experience in marriage, till I had some really faithful believers in this church change the way I did marriage. So the call to action, before we're gonna have James come up in a minute, just ask yourself, which area of my life needs transformation? Do I need to turn from sex out of marriage? Do I need to come forward and confess and turn from porn? Do I need to adjust our schedule, work, and lifestyle so we have margin, we're not rushed, and we can really enjoy Jesus and one another? Do I need to am I driving my spouse crazy because I'm relying on my spouse and not the Lord Jesus Christ? Am I seeking from my spouse what only God can give me? Do I need to move from a child-centric home to a Christ-centric home? Do I need to build our marriage on grace, not performance? Or do I need to move from a more complacent to an invested marriage? So we're asking that we want to be the trailblazer here as a church, and we are. We have about 100 couples doing it already, and we want every couple in here engaged. So the challenge is this: don't be conformed to the patterns of the world, but live a transformed life. Now, Jameis is gonna come up now, and we're really blessed. We have leadership. You can come on up, Jameis. We have a leadership that invests in marriage. Jay and Kim, Jameis and Annie. I mean, we have a leadership that doesn't just talk the talk, they walk the walk. And Jameis, who's been in marriage ministry for 12 straight years, been in my group, thankfully, is gonna share with you a little bit about it and kind of give you the call to action for the sermon. Thank you, Jameis.
Thanks for checking out Sermons from Pleasant Valley Community Church. For more resources and to give financially to support the missions and ministries of Pleasant Valley, find us on social media or visit our website at www.pleasantvalley.cc.